Monday the 16th of July, the Chodesh Menachem Ov of the Shmuel Kahn Priorities.
Thank you very much for inviting me to join the august number of Lamdi Torah who have given over the more than a year this year. And I feel privileged to be counted amongst them. There's a very interesting halacha which is brought in Shulchan Aruch in Ur Chaim in Siman Reish Kaf Gimel. Meis loy oviv mevorech dain ha'emes. If Nebuch somebody's father passes away, he says the bracha of dain ha'emes. Hoy loy momen sheyoresh mevorech gam kein shechiyonu. If he at the same time inherits the wealth as a result of the passing of his father, he makes the bracha of shechiyonu. In yesh le achim, and has he got brothers? He has brothers. But mosim shechiyonu mevorech hatoy v'hametiv. In place of shechiyonu, he says the bracha of hatoy v'hametiv. Says the Ramo, mevorechim hatoy v'hametiv el imkein yesh lo shutvus ba'ois hatoy v'o. But hatoy v'hametiv is dependent on other people sharing. But the main halacha is that a person says on such an occasion Baruch Dain HaEmes, and afterwards he says Hatoy Bahamitiv. And if you think about it for a moment, it's a very strange halacha. Meis Loy Oviv is probably one of the worst occurrences a person can have. Oimer says it's a bracha on such an occasion Baruch Dain HaEmes. At the same time, concomitant with that occasion, occurrence, he happens to also be a Yoresh. This he probably knew about for some time. The person usually knows with the passing of his father he will be the Yoresh. He with his brothers, etc. If there is a, now he's in the situation of Tsar, can't he push off this second bracha for a more propitious time, a time which is much more suitable to make this Hatoy V'Hametiv? After all, he's yet now Batsar, he's got all the Dini Avelis which are applicable to him. Is there a particular reason that he should now at the same time say a Brocha Hatoy V'Hametiv? It's not Matim, it's not really the right feeling that a person should show Simcha at the time he's got Tsar. So we see that the halacha, which is of course a gemara in brachas, wants to give expression to two different sensations, two different feelings, which are applicable at the same time. We find a similar situation, slightly, obviously different, but there's a certain common denominator. Bizman Yitzias Mitzrayim, the time of Mitzrayim, prior to Yitzias Mitzrayim, Dabru el bnei Yisrael, or kodat bnei Yisrael, v'ishalu ish me'esre'ehu klei chesed klei zohod. Prior to the Yitzhiyah, they were told to amass riches. Why, after this time, were they exhorted to get riches? After all, they'd been pining, they'd been hoping for hundreds of years to get out. Once the window of opportunity had lent itself, the chu'ura, it would be that the most pressing desire and longing and hope would be to get out quickly. Nevertheless, at this same time, they were told, Yishalu ishmerehu, make sure that you're looked after, that you get kleis chesed, leizov, the smallest, get dovorim gashmien. And one would have thought in such an occasion all these things would be totally inconsequential for these people at the time of Yetziah. After hundreds of years, the opportunity to get out, if somebody's been incarcerated and the door is opened for a period of time, the first thing he'll do, the most pressing desire and wish would be to get out and not worry about anything else. Not even Kliches Rizohar. These are the most unimportant things vis-a-vis the emancipation of the Yetziah. And why did say Chazal, were they told to do it? Shelo yomru v'avodum v'im yosom, and then there'll be the Ritzor. but not kiyamti. V'achach yetzei b'chus gadol loy kiyamti. That there should not be, say Chazal, a explaining the tzitzim, later on, a deep seated, slight resentment, even though they've had the yetzia, even they've had this freedom, which has now been finally achieved after so much oppression, nevertheless, at a later stage, there shouldn't be deep down a deep seated feeling of a tino, or some sort of reproach to the Ribbono Shel Olam Kaviyocho, that Shelo Kiyamti, the Chelek, the Ribbono Shel Olam, did not fulfill that part of V'achach Yetzei B'Chus Gadol. In fact, there are two limudim, both from this and perhaps from the first halacha of which we brought in Shulchan Aruch of Meisle Oviv, and he got the legacy. The first nakuda, the first point to bring out is that a person, a human, Homo sapiens, is a very, very complicated Uriya. And that there are, we two can be at the same time two opposing feelings which are totally opposed, and they really can't be brought together, but they can be present, they can be prevalent one at the same time. And we are told, therefore, don't try to suppress them, don't try to pretend that they don't exist. But also is man, one at the same time, that the person is meisloi oviv, and he has to keep all the dinei avelus for a whole year, the shiva, the shloishim, the shona, the shona, that first year completely. At the same time, if at the, he is given the ashish, the Ashivas, the wealth which comes at the same time, he is therefore exhorted and joined to give expression to the Ribbono Shel Olam, albeit that it is not really apposite to his feelings of Avelus. But since it does exist and it is there and it is present, don't try to suppress it. Don't try to pretend that something like this doesn't exist. Give expression to it and say the bracha which is relevant to you at one and the same time. That's one point which we learn from this. But I feel that there is another, perhaps even deeper nakuda point which we can see. I don't know, it's long ago since I started driving. And probably most of you here can hardly remember the before learning to drive, passing the driving test. But there was one thing which you were given, and I think it still exists, in fact it's become harder, the highway code. One of the things you have to learn before you drive is the highway code. And this must exist virtually in every country in the world. The dinim of driving. And this, we have it encapsulated in England in the highway code. And if you ever think about it, and try to analyze the highway code, there's one underlying principle which in fact encompasses the whole highway code. And what is that principle? If you take all the halachas of the highway code, you, before you start, you look in your rear mirror. I think I remember that still, that's the first thing you're drilled and instilled with, is look in your rear mirror to see if somebody's coming. I think even once you put on the engine, you will turn the key. And there are very many laws, regulations which apply. And what is the one underlying principle? And that is the principle of priorities. You stop at a traffic light, or you go through a traffic light. It means that red means that the other person has the priority, green is that you have the right of way. At the top of a road with a white line, it means stop because the others take Kedima, take precedence. A roundabout, the din of a roundabout. If there were no halachas, that you give right of way in one particular direction, whether you're driving on the right side or the left, it means, again, were there not a din of Kedima, were there not a priority given and laid down and in fact enshrined in the toad, then there would be chaos and there would be a danger. Pedestrian crossings. Everything, all these halachas of the highway code, you can really, if you analyze them, can find that the one nakuda which actually really includes everything in the highway code is kedima, is priorities. I always had a problem with this notice which you have, falling rocks. What are you supposed to do about falling rocks? I thought to myself, this actually doesn't fit into the category, falling rocks. The pshat is that here it says to you that if you do your own thing and the rocks fall down, then the rocks are going to be in kedima. There's nothing you can do. Otherwise, it makes no sense to me, falling rocks. Unless it means that when it hits you and you get a shock, you should know that it's not a fail, nothing's happened. It's only a rock. But the thing is, besides that, look at virtually every halacha, the double yellow lines, the single yellow lines, the white lines, all these laws, all these minutiae, there is this common denominator. And one can, in fact, really, if you look at it and take the toad, it'll be quite interesting to see how, in fact, it really spreads out into virtually every facet of safety and that which goes with it. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says in Ovos, "Kol ha'poisek, kol ha'loi made a poisek in Mishnosoi, the oima manoi ilon zeh, manoi anil zeh." If someone appreciates as he's learning and he turns around to his chav and says, isn't the scenery beautiful? It's a rather strong loshon, it's very strong language. What the Chazal emphasized in this Mishnah is that certain person who's learning Torah and umatik mishnosoi for seemingly inconsequential in the onim of things, even though it's something which he appreciates, the Bria at the same time, he neither understands nor feels what he's actually been misadding, what he's been involved in. And to Ilu, it would have been better that he was not sitting and learning than to be posing in Mishnah. We find another Chazal, which is awfully, terribly, very strong. The Pasuk, there's a Pasuk, Kidvar Hashem Boza. I think the pasuk in the Tzobim that Kidvar Hashem Boza, a person disobeyed the Kodesh Baruch Hu, is mitzvotah heifar, tikores tikores hanefesh ahi. So Chazal ascribe it to different situations. And one of the say Chazal, zehu lemi shemadaber b'shas kriyas hatzeva. One would have thought that if that's an extremely, extremely strong loshon language to use, this person has something to impart to Chava. B'shaskis haTorah, and he's afraid to forget about it, so he turns around and he says it to him. Kidvar Hashem Bozov Esed Mitzvotah Heifar. Chazal are using an extremely strong language. Why do we need this very strong itui expression? The yesod is that the whole Torah is a highway code, and it's a code of priorities. And you will find, interestingly enough, that if you examine the Kloli Hashash, you will find that so many, if not all, are a question of prioritization. I'll give a few examples. Asay. If you've got an assay and a lois assay, give kedima to the assay. The assay takes first place. And the antithesis, mitzvah habo ba'aveiro. If the mitzvah were to come through an aveiro, then rather don't do this mitzvah if it were involved with doing an aveiro. Todir, u'she'ena todir. Todir Koidam. when you've got different things and you don't know what to do first, Todesh in a Todian. Todio Makudosh. If something is Todi and the other is the greater Kedusha, there's a Shaila in the Gemara, what again comes first? Malin Bakodesh for Ein Moridim. Again, once you've started going on the way, then Malin, and don't, if you have another option, if it involves Moridim going to a lesser Kedusha, then you don't do so. Ein Mavirim Al Hamitzvah. Ein mami, the mitzvah comes to Yodcha, Ein mavirin ala mitzvahs. Ein oisin mitzvahs, kavilois kavilois. Don't bundle mitzvahs, i.e. each mitzvah has got a place on its own. Ein oisin mitzvahs, kavilois kavilois. Don't bundle them together. But give expression to each one in its place, and each one has to have its own position in mitzvahs. Again, a very, very fundamental. Perhaps one of the most fundamental. Oisek b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah. If you're oisek b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah. All these halachas, once you examine them, you'll see it's the highway code in Chazal. V'chai bohem, v'loi shiyomus bohem. Mitzvahs are there, only v'chai bohem. Isn't chas v'sholem, the mitzvah entails also sakonas nefoshes, then the mitzvah takes second place. Yehoreg v'al yavoyer. Three mitzvahs. Yehoreg v'al yavoyer. Again, a person is enjoined to know what he has to do chas v'sholom in extreme circumstances. And if not for these mitzvahs, yavoyer v'al yehoreg. Other mitzvahs we are commanded, Yavod Aliyahavod, again what to do. I can find you many, many others. Noshim Peturah is a mitzvah Hasei Shazman Geroma. The Peturah of Noshim is because there are other pressing requirements which are there, which take, again, precedence over mitzvahs, and you would think, I want to do this mitzvah. No, Noshim Peturah is a mitzvah Hasei Shazman Geroma. Ein shliach lidvar aveiro. Why? Because divrei harav, divrei hatalmid, divrei mishoimim. Mutav shirchalel Shabbos achas, al yichalel Shabbos habe. If somebody's chasposholem in the sakona, they machalel in the Shabbos, again, mutav shirchalel Shabbos achas, al yichalel Shabbos habe. And one could go on. And I think this is what the halacha here of in Reish Kaf Gimel may slightly obvious. A person has never, he is in a matzav, he's in oil and he's in ovil, and the oisai's man is the Yerusha. He may have known for a long time that his father was coming close to his end, and it may have not been a shock to him, and perhaps the Yerusha was a shock to him, and perhaps the Tsar was not as great as it might have been because he knew it was coming. And perhaps, as they said, you know, the story had to receive a DWD, which we don't have to show and believe in. But nevertheless, the halacha tells us that you should know that when you've got two diametrically opposed situations, then there are dine kedima. There are priorities which we actually have to give expression to, and first of all do this and then you do that. And it's not the importance of it is to realize that it's not a hefker, but we have got, we're commanded in fact to do things with prioritization in that particular situation. So therefore know that even though you've got different chiyuvim, different responsibilities, different feelings, know what to place first and what to place second. People who are involved with outreach tell me that one of the hardest halachas when they started dealing with Baalei Tshuva at the early stage is when they start learning about Chaim. So one of the first halachas is getting dressed in the morning. So you take a sheet of Shulchan Aruch or whatever the books used today are, And they came across the halacha of you put on your right shoe, you put on your left shoe, then you tie your left shoe, and then you tie your right shoe. And we learn it from tefillin and listen. And they tell me that, well, it's one of the hardest halachas to speak to, but explain to Balei Tshuva. And they look and they can't understand what you're talking about, right shoe, left shoe. It just doesn't make a difference to them. And they think it's absolutely weird. The Shulchan Aruch is telling us that, and this is in fact, when you explain it to, presumably, I say I'm not particularly involved very much in outreach myself, but in, at least not here, but the presumably underlying principle which will come over to them in time is again, albeit to you it makes no difference if I put my right shoe on and I tie it, which is the most natural thing to do, and then I put my left shoe and I don't, and then I tie my left shoe. But we're telling these people, no, the Shulchan Aruch tells us there is a different Seder to do. It incalculates, it imprints in us and in the would-be and will-be Balei Tshuva, then this realization of the concept of there is adifuyot, there are a seder, there is a order of which to do things. And in fact, we find that Shulchan Aruch, if you start carrying it after breakfast in the morning, these dinim of what to do first, ein ma'virin al ha-mitzvot, is very, very prevalent. When you come first, put on your talish, and then you put on your tefillin. Hagam, that there's a big reason to put on tefillin first as a kedusha. No, but we're told the person should already be mutar b'talish. And then only after then comes tefillin. Then there's a halacha of yad and roish, and don't put on the roish before the shayad. You might have thought that the svara is fakert. First of all, let me get my seichel in gear, and then only after do the maisim. No, we enjoined first from the limudim of the pasuk, hoyle oish hayodcha ulototavos beinecha. Again, the Torah gives priority to the yad before the roish. And the halach then discuss what do you do if you made a mistake and you took the Rosh Hashanah for the Shulyad. Again, the beginning of Shulchan Aruch is totally discussing those halachos of Ma'avirin al Hamitzvos and doing things in the right order. And even in Dine Hatzolah, as far as saving is concerned, there are also halachos. There is halacha which of Hatzolah's Nefoshes. There are also halachas. Very difficult to say it the Shabbos Rabbi, but in Shulchan Aruch, and you learn Shulchan Aruch in Dine Chesh and Mishpat, there's a dinim of Kohen Levi Yisrael, there's a dinim of Anoshim Kodim L'Anoshim V'Taf, which is very difficult to explain. Chas V'Sholom, we shouldn't have to be in such a situation, but there are, even in Hatzolah's Nefoshes, there are halachas which the Torah in fact gives us. And you will find that the concept, the idea of adufiyot, of priorities, is in fact the whole yisod, is the fundamental root and shoresh for gadlus. Gadlus for Adam is usually expressed and able to be defined by a person who's really found the right priorities. Gadlus hachnosis. We learn from Avraham Avinu. Godel hachnosis orchim, yisim akabodes pnei hashchino. Can you imagine? Avraham Avinu was medabeim Hashem. We don't know what it means medabeim Hashem. But Avraham Avinu was mafsik to be with Hakadosh Baruch Hu for these orchim who were seemingly Arab wayfarers. The pshat is not Godel hachnos erchim per se is Yisim mehakavodas pnei hashchino, but the loshen, the Chazal are telling us that bizman, at the time that you're doing hachnosas erchim, such and such a time is not a time for lekabel pnei hashchino. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want you now. If there is a mitzvah hachnosas erchim which is not a mitzvah averes and it can't be done by somebody else, then says the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm not here for you, Avraham Avinu. And if we try to translate it in our own situation, can you imagine a person is davening, and what do we learn from this? If a person is davening, Nila on Yom Kippur, and he's Mamesh is in Shmon Esra. And Atoy Delta Enish Meroish, and he's got the greatest kavanas which he's tried to aspire to with Asesame Tshuva and Tefillas. And suddenly, for whatever reason, he thinks to himself, "Oi, I didn't leave lunch out for the au pair at home. Perhaps he'd have to stop the Tefillah on Yom Kippur and walk home and make sure that his Hatnoset Orchim is in fact provided, assuming that nobody else could have done it, assuming it was left to him, to have got out of Skena, without an Oseh Shalom, gone home, got Hatnoset Orchim, Yetzir Kabos Meir Shina." Can you imagine on Yom Kippur anybody doing so? But that is in fact the Limudim. Of course it's an extreme case, it's most unusual. But if we take these lessons, these Limudim, the Maisa, they've got extreme and deep ramifications. And I don't want to digress too much, because that could perhaps be for a different occasion, the idea that you should know that the whole Torah Hamusa of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter can be encapsulated in three words. The whole Torah Hamusa, we know Rabbi Yisrael Salanter laid doggish on the Midas Torah. What did he stress? He stressed mitzvah habor ba'aveira. Don't do a mitzvah if it is accompanied by an aveira. And it needn't be an aveira lemaisa, an actual aveira, but even if it's an aveira the midas, then the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want these mitzvahs. And that is the, what is the, in fact, if you analyze it, the whole Torah Hamusa, that we should do whatever we do with a rain kite, with a purity. In fact, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter himself was, you know, he traveled a lot, and he was once in Germany, he lived in Germany in his last years, in France and Germany he was in his last years, and he came to a shul on Yom Kippur, and this shul had in Germany, and had at the back a wide open doors to provide maximum ventilation, and one of his talmidim had to go out before Musas. And he came back, he was there with the Talmud, a few Talmudim, and the Talmud came back and he saw that the Tzibah had already started davening. So he stood at the entrance and started Shemin Esra. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter went up to him and said, "Ganef," he whispered in his ear, "Ganef, you're stealing the air of the Tzibah." At the Tfilas Yom Noroim, Rabbi Yisrael said and felt this Talmud, and he obviously was a Talmud who was Roy Lakach, had not realized that his Tfilas Yom Kippur, by standing this entrance, it was taking away the air which the Tzibah had delineated, had designated for the air and the ventilation in the shul. So he went up to him, and Rabbi Yisrael must have stopped his own Shmon Esra and said, "Ganef, you're taking away the ventilation, the air from the shul." That's the kedima, that's the priority. And this is in fact the whole Zehut Kim'at Kol HaTorah Kula. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to know our adifiyot, what to do first. And if we do know it, we have got the Yesod, the Segula for Gadlus. I'll just end off by telling you something I said in Vilna many years ago. It's already not in Vilna, this is in Moscow. We went, I probably know that a lot of us went from London to Moscow in the early 80s, organized Kishulim there. And I gave a lady Shia once on, I think it was Rosh Chodesh. And this was such a mysterious method of these things. At night, ladies came from all over Moscow. These shurim were made in different places. This lady came as a group of ladies. Everyone was machaser roish. Everyone had her head covered in different ways. It was tremendous. And a shia in Moscow lasted for 4 hours. And they just stayed there from 8 till 12. They sat there. And I said to them, we say in Tfilas HaChodesh, Chaim Shesh Bahem Yira Shemayim V'Yira Shchit, one of them we asked for in the Tfilas HaChodesh. Then we say, Chaim Shteibonu Avas Teirem Yira Shemayim. But we've said, Chaim Shesh Bahem Yira Shemayim, and then we repeat ourselves. And the Derech HaTfilah is not to repeat ourselves. So why are we saying it twice? So I said to them like this, you are coming from a life, or I put it like this, the other way around. I'm coming from Europe, I said, from a place where we've got all the necessities for a full Jewish life. we've got Chadorim, we've got primary schools, Jewish, we've got Jewish high schools, we've got Yeshiva Ketanes, Yeshiva Kedoyles, we've got Mila, if Mila is no problem, we've got Shechita, we've got Kashrus, we've got Mikvos, and I spelt out all the different paraphernalia of Jewish life which we've got. And we appreciate then Chayim Shiesh Bahen Kila Shemayim. We've got all the wherewithal to allow us to enjoy the Chayim Shiesh Bahen Kila Shemayim Yizchet. Wherever we turn, I've been in America and I've seen in the 13th Avenue, you know, the ice cream parlors which say glatt kosher. Everything is, how you can have glatt kosher ice cream, I'm still working out. But everything is there to give this possibility. I said, you are coming from a situation where everything is osur. Mila was dangerous. Shechita, 1.5 chickens for the community a month. Any limudei Kodesh was in, we were giving shurim in very great secrecy and surreptitiously. So everything is a problem. Mila, Tavila, Shechita, will you have it? Limud Torah, what have you? Everything was danger, fraught with danger. So you can't say Chayim Shish Bohem Yira Shemayim. The Chayim is not there. Therefore, you add afterwards, Chayim Shtei Bonu Abbas Torah. That we have to draw in, not from Chaim Shesh Bohen, we have to withdraw from our own inner resources in order to achieve the Chaim, the Jewish life. Chaim Shtei Bonu, that's the difference. There's a tzibur of Chaim Shesh Bohen, but we are asking for a Chaim Shtei Bonu. That's what I said at the time. Some years later, I had to speak at a Ofer Shabbos in New York, and I said, I told over what I said at that time, in Moscow, and then I said, here's the opposite way round. Here everything is on a plate. Everything, wherever you look, the chadorim, the mikvahs, the shuv, the minyonim, everything is there. And we take everything for granted. Chaim shiesh bohen, the chaim is there. And we don't have to, it's difficult to avoid it. If the minyonim, the everything, the shiurim, we take everything for granted. It's Chaim Shesh Bohen, but afterwards, don't take it for granted. After you've got it there, there is another dimension which you still have to work on. Chaim Shtei Bonu. All this is all there, but being reliant on it, we often don't achieve our own possible potential because it's all there. Therefore, we ask the Ribbono Shel Olam afterwards, Chaim Shtei Bonu. Even though it's all there, let us ourselves do the positive effort and our own input to achieve Chaim Shtei Bonu.